From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I'll begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. FIFA President Gianni Infantino to visit Indonesia to guide football transformation. Government needs to raise defense budget. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President of Federation Internationale de Football Association FIFA, Gianni Infantino, is scheduled to visit Indonesia on Tuesday as part of efforts to guide the national football transformation process. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir said in a written statement released in Jakarta on Saturday that FIFA will set up an office in Indonesia to ensure that the Indonesian football transformation process will run well. Minister Thohir also said that the good intention of FIFA and the Indonesian government to improve the national football is worthy of praise. He added that the efforts is a golden chance for Indonesia to improve its football management so that it needs support from all sides, including football clubs, fans, security agencies, and television stations. The Indonesian government needs to raise the defense budget to increase the Indonesian military strength to thwart external threats to state defense. This was affirmed by Deputy Chairman of the House of Representatives DPR Commission 1, Utut Adianto, on Sunday during a talk show on the occasion of the 10E77 anniversary. The talk show highlighted the history, pioneering, and future design of 10E. Meanwhile, former Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Agus Supriyatna highlighted several challenges to 10E in the future. The country must have national strategy and policy, prepare human resources, and procure a primary weapon system. He further said that NE's defense strategy policy must adjust to regional and global geopolitical challenges. The Joint Independent Fact-Finding Team for the Kanjuruhan Stadium tragedy is still investigating the incident by interviewing various relevant parties. Suwarno, a team member, stated on Sunday that the team had met security officers, including those from the police and military, guarding of the football match on October 1, 2022, that led to a bloody stampede claiming 131 lives. Meanwhile, a fellow fact-finding team member Nugroho Setiawan, who is also AFC's safety security officer, said that the preliminary conclusion of the investigation is that Kanjuruhan Stadium is not feasible to host high-risk football matches. He suggested the stadium has its gate structure improved and modified. The fact-finding team established by the government on Monday to investigate the tragedy is being chaired by Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Mahfud MD, along with Minister of Youth and Sports, Zainuddin Amali, serving as the team's deputy head, and former Deputy Attorney General Nur Rahmat as the secretary. Let's move on to the international news, where Russian President Vladimir Putin accused Ukraine of orchestrating what he called a terrorist attack on a key bridge linking Russia and Crimea as he prepared to hold a meeting of his Security Council on Monday. A blast on Saturday on the bridge over the Kerch Strait, a major supply route for Moscow's force in southern Ukraine, prompted gleeful message from Ukrainian officials but no claim of responsibility. The bridge is also a vital artery for the port of Sevastopol, where the Russian Black Sea Fleet is based, as well as an imposing symbol of Russia's 2014 annexation of the Crimean Peninsula. The damage to the bridge came amid battlefield defeat for Russia and growing concerns that Moscow could resort to nuclear weapons after Putin repeatedly cautioned the West that any attack on Russia could provoke a nuclear response. German police were on Sunday probing an act of sabotage on the country's rail infrastructure, with some officials pointing the finger at Russia's in the wake of the Nord Stream pipeline explosion. Important communication cables were cut at two sites on Saturday, forcing rail services in the Nord to be halted for 3 hours and causing travel chaos for thousands of passengers. Rail operator Deutsche Bahn blamed the travel disruptions on sabotage, while Transport Minister Volker Wissing spoke of a targeted and deliberate action. Telecom companies in India launched 5G service in several cities this month as the nation pushes towards its goal of achieving $1 trillion digital economy by 2025. India is the last major Asian economy to launch its 5G network, but telecom companies are promising a rapid rollout with services that will be affordable in a country which already has some of the lowest data prices in the world. India's largest telecom player, Reliance Industries Jio, on Wednesday rolled out trial service in New Delhi, Mumbai, Kolkata and Varanasi. 5G, the fifth generation of high-speed mobile internet, tooth surfing speeds 10 times that of 4G. With faster downloads and higher bandwidth, the next-generation network is seen as essential for adopting emerging technologies. Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen will pledge to bolster the island's combat power and determination to improve its defense in a major speech on Monday. At a time when tensions with China have risen dramatically, Taiwan, claimed by China as its own territory, has come under increasing military and political pressures from Beijing, especially after Chinese war games in early August, following a Taipei visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. According to an outline of her National Day speech on Monday, as described to Reuters by a source brief on its content, Tsai will talk about enhancing national defense combat power and uniting the morale of the people. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner on a trial of rendang production is carried out in Bulgaria.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights: trial of rendang production is carried out in Bulgaria. Listeners, the trial of rendang production was carried out for the first time at the Bella Limited factory in Plovdiv City, Bulgaria. The trial was reviewed directly by Indonesian Ambassador to Bulgaria, Iwan Bogananta, Indonesian culinary expert William Wongso, and chairman of the Bulgarian Halal Association. In a written statement at the Indonesian Embassy in Sofia last Thursday, Ambassador Iwan appreciated Bulgaria's effort to trust Indonesia to cooperate and invest in establishing a special factory for processing rendang Padang. The negotiation process has started since the end of 2021 and was launched directly by Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, with the title Rendang Goes to Europe in early 2022. Ambassador Iwan also explained that later all rendang spices would be sent directly from Indonesia and then processed using halal meat from Bulgaria and surrounding countries. Culinary expert William Wongso expressed his pride in the effort of the Indonesian ambassador in Sofia to carry out the Indonesian Spice Up the World program launched by President Joko Widodo. William was present in the pilot activity to provide technical input on the rendang production processing industry, starting from quality control of the use of seasonings, meat management to finished product. He also provided input on packaging and marketing. Bella Limited's Chief Operating Officer, Dimitar Mitif, expressed his confidence that rendang will be a success in the global market. His site will teach Europeans how to consume rendang so that it feels delicious following the European style. Miti further explains that as a market leader for food products in the Balkans, Bella Limited has an extensive distribution chain and is supported by a logistic warehouse covering an area of 54,000 meters and 160 distributors spread across Bulgaria. As an initial investment, it targets to produce more than 18 tons of rendang per month throughout Bulgaria and Europe. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia.
Get ready! Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
We begin today in history with the event on October 10, 1983 about El Aslam earthquake. On October 10, 1983, an earthquake with a magnitude of 7.1 shook El Aslam city in Algeria. A result, 2,633 people died and 8,369 were injured. 25,000 houses were destroyed, causing about 300,000 people to be homeless. This earthquake was recorded as the deadliest earthquake in Algerian history. We're moving on to the event on October 10, 1992 about World Mental Health Day. World Mental Health Day is commemorated annually on October 10th. World Mental Health Day was first commemorated on October 10, 1992, launched from the official website of the World Federation for Mental Health for the first time in 1992. This commemoration has become the annual agenda of the World Federation for Mental Health. This commemoration was initiated by Deputy Secretary General of the World Federation for Mental Health, Richard Hunter. World Mental Health Day is a commemoration for mental health education, awareness, and advocacy against social stigma. We end today in history with an event on October 10, 2013, when Minamata Convention occurred. The Minamata Convention on Mercury is an international treaty designed to protect human health and the environment from anthropogenic emissions and releases of mercury and mercury compounds. Mercury and mercury compounds have been known to have harmful effects on human and other organisms. General public health crisis caused by mercury poisoning is Minamata disease. The Minamata Convention was adopted and opened for signature in Kumamoto, Japan on October 10, 2013. Up to now, 128 countries have signed the convention.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhinderen Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Your eyes, you
best and always do. But without you here by my side, the brightest day felt dark like night. I miss you so when you're likewise. So baby,
of Indonesia. The next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo opened the 8th G20 Inter-Parliamentary Speakers Summit at Nusantara Building in Jakarta last Thursday. In his remarks, the President invited the G20 Parliamentary Forum, or P20, to work together to face challenges, global crisis, and world economic recovery.
Kita harus berupaya keras mengatasi perbedaan-perbedaan.
We must work hard to overcome multiple differences and strengthen common ground to promote the recovery of the world economy and deal with the crisis more effectively. According to President Joko Widodo, multilateralism is the most effective way to jointly solve all problems. There is no single problem that can be solved by one country or only several countries. All must be willing to sit together, talk, and build bridges of dialogue so that they find solutions to problems faced. The B20 event theme Stronger Parliament for Sustainable Recovery ended last Friday. Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, Puan Maharani, closed it by presenting the result of the meeting. She remarked that there was no joint statement. However, the meeting resulted in a chair summary obtained after the leaders of the G20 Parliament attended 4 discussion sessions. They were related to priority issues ranging from sustainable development, green economy, food and energy security, and economic challenges to gender equality. Speaker Puan Maharani said that the G20 country delegates are committed to working together to create world peace in a bid to give new hopes to the international community. They are committed to creating a world full of social welfare without discriminating between rich and poor and their gender. All countries benefit from togetherness with one hope that in the future, in the post-COVID-19 pandemic, no country is left behind. Speaker Puan Maharani added that the participants appreciated Indonesia's leadership in the P20 summit because all parties could sit together openly and share a dialogue to solve global problems. She also pointed out that cooperation is related not only between governments, but also inter-parliament, private parties, academics, and civil society. The P20 meeting was attended by 19 parliamentary heads of the G20 member countries and 59 heads of delegations.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
RRI Voice Office, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener now will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to take you to Ambon that have various natural tourism attraction, and it's an attraction for many tourists, both domestic and foreign. In addition to its enchanting natural attractions, Ambon also has a variety of interesting culinary delights, which you can try when visiting this city. For example, Rarobang Coffee, which is typical of Ambon. At first glance, this type of coffee looks like milk coffee sprinkled with walnuts. However, if it is stirred, it is not as thick as milk coffee, and there are also ginger and coffee dregs at the bottom of the glass. Actually, Rarobang Coffee is a modification of Robusta Coffee, which is mixed with ginger, cloves, cinnamon, lemongrass, honey, and walnuts. Then, all ingredients except walnuts are combined in a hot water stew and cooked until boiling. Then, the boiled water is filtered to get a different coffee mixture. As a final preparation, sliced roasted walnuts are sprinkled on top of the coffee, already served in the cup. If you like milk coffee, a little condensed milk can also be poured and mixed into Rarobang coffee to be enjoyed immediately, so the taste and texture are different. This coffee has a distinctive aroma because of the combination of coffee and ginger aroma that distinguish this coffee from coffee in general. After sipping, ginger coffee tastes sweet and warm. Slices of roasted walnut are sprinkled on top of the coffee already served in the cup, adding to the rich taste of Rarobang coffee. The sweetness that is produced also comes from liquid honey, which is certainly different from the sweetness of sugar. To enjoy Rarobang Coffee, you can visit a row of coffee cafes on Jalan Said Perintah in Ambon. You can enjoy the coffee at one of the coffee cafes there, with a price range from 15,000 rupiah or $1 to 19,000 rupiah. There are many choices of coffee shops that can be the right place to relax. Usually, this coffee shop is open from morning to 9 p.m. local time. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
terjadi semalam. Aku tak mampu untuk lupakan kamu. Membuat diri ini duadu di mabuk kepayang.
Cantik, kau cantik tiada dua. Menarik, membuatku terhipnotis kamu. Membuat raga ini duadu dulu hati ini.
Kau memang menarik semua untuk tertuju padamu seorang. Kau
satiku, pegang erat dan tak akan ku melepasmu. Hanya ada dalam hatiku.
Pandangan kamu dengan diriku, lugu, lucu, lulu kepada
kau begitu lucu.
International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about the clinic, which means at the clinic. So stay tuned. We are going to present you a conversation entitled Apa Keluhan Bapak? Apa Keluhan Bapak? Means, what's the problem, sir? This conversation happens between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and a doctor at the clinic. The doctor asks what medical problem that Dev has. Let's listen to the conversation.
Selamat pagi, dok.
Pagi, apa keluhan bapak?
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Apa, apa, which means what? Keluhan bapak, keluhan bapak, which means your problem. Apa keluhan bapak? Apa keluhan bapak? Which means, what's the problem, sir? In the conversation, you hear the question, apa keluhan bapak? Apa keluhan bapak? Which means, what's the problem, sir? The word keluhan, keluhan, which means problem, in the question, it means medical problem. It is used to ask someone's medical problem, and you can use the question word, apa, apa, which means what, followed by the word keluhan, keluhan, which means problem, and the person who has medical problem. For example, bapak, bapak, which means sir. To ask someone's medical problem, you can use the question, kamu sakit apa? Kamu sakit apa? Or, kamu kenapa? Kamu kenapa? Which means, what's wrong with you? Let's listen to the other examples of someone's medical problem. Kenapa? Kenapa? Which means, why? Kamu kenapa? Kamu kenapa? Or, kamu sakit apa? Kamu sakit apa? Which means, what's wrong with you? One of diseases that Indonesians often feel is masuk angin, masuk angin, which means catch cold. The symptoms are nausea, flatulence, body ache, and headache. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat pagi, dok.
Pagi, apa keluhan bapak?
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite, COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From Indonesia to the
world. You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Hati-hati di Jalan by a young singer, Nadine Abigail. The song Hati-hati di Jalan is one of songs on the fourth album by the solo singer and songwriter Tulus. The album, titled Manusia, was released on March 3, 2022. This album is a form of appreciation from Tulus, who has colored the music world for a decade. The most popular song of all is Hati-hati di Jalan. The song, which means take care, describes a love story between lovers who have the same nature, similar background and goals, but all of these things doesn't necessarily eliminate the obstacles in having a closer relationship until they finally decide to separate. Alright listener, here is Nadine Abigail with the keroncong song Hati-hati di Jalan.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 bibaqaikum fil manazil.
Zaman gegen corona, we're bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the
secret of my eyes. Can you feel what I
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you on the next English program.